Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
And as we're moving towards the election, discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear that I will go over the...
You!
So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hey there, it's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke for another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. Happy New Year unto you. I just tried to put headphones on my head over sunglasses is what I did. That's how 2017 is getting started, my friends. That's how it's getting started.
We are all trying to put headphones on over our sunglasses.
It's real. The struggle is real. Well, I am energized anew for 2017. Also because we're careening towards inauguration weekend.
Woohoo!
Faster by the hour.
Oops.
Yeah, not a woohoo. The opposite of woohoo. And it's on. I'm still hearing people saying, I mean, just yesterday I saw somebody tweet, we still have to stop this from happening. I was like,
yeah, no.
What are you planning? What's your plan?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
No, the horse has left the barn, as they say.
Oh, yeah. Big time left the barn. Like, ain't no going back on that. Like, we can't. No. So that's happening. Inauguration weekend. And a lot of marches have sprung up around the one on the 21st.
Yeah.
The Women's March.
The Women's March. And I was just reading yesterday that that is now shaping up to be hugely significant.
Bigly.
Yes.
Bigly significant.
It's going to be the greatest women's march ever. No women's march has ever been this good.
Oh, have you ever used Dub Smash?
No.
It's so fun. And it's essentially like you lip sync over a clip of something else happening, like from a movie or whatever. It's hours of time wasting is what it is. It's great fun, though.
Yeah, I definitely need that for my New Year's resolution.
The reason I ask is because there's a couple of Trump quotes in there. Uh-huh. And I was going to just do one and send it to you just to entertain us both. And I couldn't get myself to do it.
Right. It's a step too far.
It's too far. Yeah. It really is too far. And it was one about, I respect women. Women are great. I know lots of women. It was that. Oof. And I couldn't even get myself to do it.
Yeah. You start to kind of gag a little bit.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Women's March is a thing that's happening. I'm going to try to go. I'm going to try to be there. I think it's going to be important and essential.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some nonsense because lots of people the day before for the inauguration, followed by, like, those are just two groups I don't think are going to be convening a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I am sure that there will be a segment of that inauguration crowd that will want to stick around and cause problems.
Well, sure. As there will probably be a segment of the crowd that's going to arrive early and cause a few problems for the inauguration
crowd. Right, exactly. And to be honest, I mean, I think the Women's March is a great thing. And kudos to everyone. The disruptive stuff, the protests, the screaming and hollering about Hillary going to the inauguration. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I think I don't care what we're dealing with right now. If we stop respecting the process and respecting the office, for that matter, I think that's very bad. And I don't know what we expect good to come from doing that, because it'll just get flipped around again and come back. So I think, you know, he's going to be the president. There's nothing you can do about that. He may get impeached before too long.
Sure.
So there's one front that you can work on. And
his own planet might beckon him home.
That's true. His orangezilia in the quasar sector. There's all sorts of possibilities.
That's the one.
Not to get all technical or anything like that. I like to flaunt my knowledge of space sometimes.
Sure you do.
But as one does.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going to be, it's happening, okay? And
right.
And that's okay. Just now the fight moves on to other areas. And I thought we got a good example when the GOP just the other day tried to do away with the ethics panel.
I was just going to bring that up.
The ethics office, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. And there was much outrage among the people. And
productive outrage.
It wasn't
like a bunch of people just bitching and moaning on social media. Yeah. The place was flooded with calls.
Right.
And they were like, all right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hold up.
Yeah, and that pushed and that stopped. Now, it may still happen, so you get ready and you fight again when it starts to happen again. But I thought that was an excellent idea, and I thought the timing of that, unbelievably dumb for the GOP to try to do that in the first place.
Yeah, what
but,
in the hell?
Well, I think they've kind of got, I think they're, and the Democrats were a little like this too when they got full control. I think they come in a little cocky
Sure.
and maybe try to overstep. But regardless, great.
That's
moment.
Beyond overstepping. That's like,
oh yeah, it's just
whipping it out and peeing on the front door. Like that's really overstepping.
Exactly.
Like that's.
So yeah, that. But it was a good moment, and I think it was a good example, and I think it showed people what can happen. And frankly, I mean, I think you know, it's one of those weird things where I know Trump is probably kind of taking credit for it because he tweeted he didn't condemn it. He basically tweeted in opposition to the timing of it, mm-hmm. not to the actual doing of it.
Right.
But regardless, I think he is probably, and others are probably crediting him with stopping that. It had nothing to do with him, I don't think. It was the, well, I don't, I actually, based on the reporting, know, we know that what happened was the volume of opposition and outrage is what stopped it.
Yeah.
So that shows also that he might be influenced somewhat by that, because he did come out and say, even though he didn't fully condemn it, but did come out and speak negatively about it, and that happened after the outrage had already started. So perhaps there is a value not just in stopping Congress from doing things, but in influencing him in certain ways by getting your voices out, by really letting yourselves be heard.
Well, you said a while back on the show that what's going to be interesting is his sense, not his actual approval rating and his sense of his approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things like mass public outcry will influence him, because I do think he has a very fragile ego. He's demonstrated that to us repeatedly.
Yeah.
And I think that he can be swayed by a lot of public outcry, because I think at the end of the day, he doesn't want to be disliked.
I agree completely. I agree with me. I believe it was me who
high
once,
five, me. Yes, high five.
I believe it was I who once said. no, but the
a great Rex Hupke once said.
But I think that what will be even more interesting is when he does something that people like. And I do think he will do something. I mean, I don't
think he's got to do something people like.
And so when that happens and he gets, and people actually, and I will be among them, say, oh, you know what? Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad
right
he
on,
did
bro.
That. That was a good job. Then he might say, ooh, I like this. And mm-hmm. off he goes. So you don't know. I mean, that's the thing with him. And I think that's what worries Republicans too. And I think it's what's worried them from the get-go, is that they just don't know which way he's going to flop, because he is not driven by any ideology. He is driven entirely by his own
ego
and cult of personality. So,
for sure. Yeah. It'll be like in The Grinch when his little shriveled heart starts to expand.
Exactly. He does kind of look like The Grinch, come to think
right?
of it. Right?
Yeah. Wait a minute. These people are nice to me when I do nice things for them.
They let me carve the roast beast. I love doing that. Yeah, who knows? That could happen. Or
not.
Nuclear Armageddon. We don't know.
We
That's
just
the
don't
beauty
know.
Of it. We're between.
Here's what's fun about 2017. It's any man's game.
We have two extremes in which we are now surviving.
We could all hug it out. Maybe. Mm. Or we could all be blown off the face of the earth.
Yes.
Yay.
Hey. That makes at least, if we wind up somewhere in the middle, we'll all be very happy.
I've noticed that we are making jokes, we meaning, you know, the people, not just you and I, although we are doing it too. About things like you and I have been joking about journalism jail for a long time and international incidents and nukes and things like that. But I'm noticing that's happening more and more. I think it is a really like tenuous coping strategy that we're all clinging to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To joke about, ha, 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 getting killed.
Yeah, there's sort of a gallows humor
happening.
It's certainly among the left anyway.
Yeah.
There's some, maybe not so much on the right. But
I'm not hearing much from the right.
Yeah. Well,
I'm really not.
I
try to listen for. I mean, I do. I look at Twitter on a variety of things. I look at a variety of publications. I look at lots of blogs and columnists, and I'm just not hearing much on the right.
Yeah, including not enough, and for my taste, pushback against some of the things that he's doing, especially the Russian stuff, which is just bizarro.
Absurd.
It's bizarro world.
It really is.
I mean, this is the party that technically hates Russia, always has, party of Reagan, that sort of thing. And he is directly favoring Russians over our own president. And it is absolutely bizarre. I mean, it's absolutely bizarre. Today he tweeted about Julian Assange, who Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan, turned around and in an interview today said that Assange described him as a sycophant of the Russians. So I'm like, okay, so the sort of leader, more or less, of the Republican Party in the House is calling him a sycophant of the Russians. The Republican president-elect is praising him and believing him over U.S. intelligence reports. And that's weird. So I think that the Republicans are being kind of quiet right now and just sort of letting things happen because they don't want to inflame him. They just want to kind of get him in. And then they'll start, once he's in, I think maybe they start either pushing back more or something. But it's weird. It's really weird, especially the Russian stuff. I find that baffling. And that's a place where, frankly, the Republicans could come in a position of power because Romney was the one, mm-hmm. you know, back in the campaign against Obama who said Russia was a major problem. And all of the lefties, and myself included, said, ha ha ha, you silly old rich guy.
Foolish man.
Yeah, and he was right. I mean, and we were wrong. And now, instead of being able to rub it in our faces, they're sort of having to watch the leader or the president-elect, you know, talk real palsy-like with these guys.
Real palsy-like.
These,
I like
with
that.
With these pinkos, these commies. The Reds.
Sidebar, when you mentioned Trump on Twitter, I just went to look and see if he's tweeted in the last few minutes since we started. And I quickly realized I've never looked at Melania Trump's Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
She last tweeted on November the 8th. Mm. And it's just an American flag emoji and a picture of a vote pin that says hashtag TrumpPen16.
Nice.
Before that, her previous tweet is her speaking about herself in third person. It says, Melania Trump shares her vision and inspiration for America with that strange, I can't stand this, the off-puttingly weird thing of capitalizing every word in a tweet.
Yeah,
that's not a thing.
No.
Don't do that. That's not.
Yeah, yeah. And putting things in quotes that don't need to be in quotes, too.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Did you ever read Eat, Shoots, and Leaves?
No.
I think that we need a revival and a renaissance for that book. It's about punctuation and how, and the author essentially says, everyone carry red Sharpies and take it upon yourself to make America great again. And the world, in fact, because I think she's a Brit, by just being an editor and editing signs as you see them. I think that we're due for that because I'm seeing a lot of very shittily done signs. For example, there was one, an older one from earlier in the campaign cycle about at like an immigration rally, an anti-immigration rally, and it said something like, talk English, but English was misspelled.
Talk like, English?
Oh, my God. It had like 2 G's or something. Like, it was super fucked up, and I was like, come on, that's got to be a joke. And then you look at the picture for context of, you know, everybody, there's two pictures. There's like a close-up of that sign and then the one, like a wider shot of everybody around this dude. Nope, a lot of signs right there are super fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, people are not good at, Americans are not very good at signs.
You know, talk good English like I.
Yeah, exactly.
That. Yeah, we're notoriously bad at our signs. We suck at, that should be our new motto.
Yes.
America, we suck at signs.
We suck at signs.
We really do.
And a few other things, perhaps. But a
couple things. Yeah, but no, let's see. But speaking of punctuation, he can has it. He's not using it much. He's not, let's see. His 5 hours ago, he had a tweet, massive increases of Obamacare, all lowercase. And then he capitalizes Dems. And then lots of, yeah, he doesn't.
No, there's no consistency. But he does tons of so-called, like he talked about our, quote, capital I, intelligence on the so-called, quote, Russian hacking,
oh,
blah,
boy.
Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wait, okay, time out.
Stop.
First of all, intelligence doesn't need to be in quotes or capitalized.
No.
But that's irrelevant because the Russian hacking.
I'm going to pick my battles here.
The Russian hacking also doesn't need to be in quotes because it's actually a thing.
Because it's an actual thing.
According to our U.S. intelligence, people who you don't seem to care about because you're too busy writing very poorly worded tweets.
You're too busy sucking at Twitter
right.
to do anything else.
Did you see the Jackie Ivanko thing? The young opera singer who's
yes.
like the one person who's agreed to play at the inauguration? And she's very talented. I remember watching America's Got Talent when she won. Because I like that show. And she's a very talented person. And frankly, I'm not going to judge her on her decision to
do
the inauguration,
thing,
whatever. So he tweets that her album sales have skyrocketed after announcing her inauguration performance. Some people just don't understand the, quotes, capital M movement.
Movement.
Like, oh, boy. So
no period.
Yeah. So
no space between the period of performance and some.
There's just no, and, you know, I mean, look,
also, skyrocketed is a, I'm going to need to fact check the word skyrocketed.
Well, I'd also
please.
Like to know where it's. Is it skyrocketing in sort of the Moscow area, perhaps?
Right.
She's huge over in Russia.
I mean, if you're going to say, like, she sold 5 and then she sold 15, sure. Yeah,
there you
that's,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't. And I, just as a sidebar on that, I just shortly before we came on here, I was reading that apparently a lot of people are harassing her and giving her a lot of crap for doing that. A lot of people on the left, and I hate that, and that should not happen. I mean, again, I'm happy to see a lot of people decide they don't want to do the inauguration, but I also
sure.
am not going to pass judgment, especially on a 16-year-old, but really anybody, if that's what they decide to do. And I think it's wrong to for anybody on the left.
Pick on a kid.
We're doing too much of this same crap that we criticize.
That we've criticized,
yeah.
right.
And
right.
it's just ridiculous. And you have, and you just lose, I mean, you give people on the right all of the ammo they need to correctly say, you liberal hypocrite. I mean, that really...
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So I don't understand why people do things like that. And it's the same with, at this point, denying that he is going to be president or trying to say that he's not legitimate. He is. He won.
He won.
I don't care. Whatever happened with the hacking stuff happened, but you're never going to prove exactly if that swayed things one way or the other. There isn't any evidence of any actual tampering with electoral results. He's the president. You lost. Forget about it. Stop. You know.
Onward.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, I'm on record as not being at all happy with this outcome. But I think you gotta. We can't keep doing exactly what the other side did that we hated.
Right.
Now that the tables are turned.
Absolutely.
You just can't do it.
Someone's gonna have to decide to be. I don't want to say the bigger person, but to be the more productive team here.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause right now, we're doing the same. You
yeah,
know, it's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to also add that tweet that you mentioned earlier about the, quote, intelligence briefing on so-called, quote, Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. We need to name this. I think you and I should name this because at the end of his tweets, he adds these little like in this one, it just says, very strange, exclamation point.
Woo-hoo.
We need to name those because he'll be like. Sounds odd. Like he just
sad.
Yeah, sad. Yeah. That's the one. He does a lot of that one. Sad. Or I think once he actually said unfortunate and spelled it right. So that was good.
Yay.
Unlike unprecedented.
Right.
Oof.
Oh boy. That was a banger. And look, I don't judge anybody on Twitter. Everybody makes typos. They make mistakes. Some people just don't. Some people aren't writers. And so they don't have. I mean, they just don't.
But if you're the president
right,
of the fucking United States, you should
you,
have
yeah.
a. Like, so I would somebody assume nine people
these.
Would
yes.
read your fucking email before you send one out. Like, someone's got to look at your damn tweets. It's a communication tool. And in the case of this dude, it's his primary communication tool right now. Like, someone has got to be looking at the president of the United States tweets.
Right. And he looks, the misconception is that I think it is looked at by some people, himself and maybe others on his team, as... It's appealing to people because it's you're like
he's
a real
so
person.
Accessible.
Right. You're like a real person. It's authentic or something like that. But yeah, but it's also not just about that anymore. He's the president.
Mm-hmm.
He represents the entire country and he's making us look like idiots because here's our president and he's typing out a bunch of mumbo jumbo and throwing it out on the internet without thought or even a pause.
I'd rather him just type mumbo jumbo,
yeah,
literal mumbo jumbo over and over.
It would be nice. Like, just had a burrito. figuring out this Twitter thing.
Sure's full. Like, whatever.
Yeah, right.
I would just, like, much rather him just be saying, like, we vacuumed today. That
yeah,
was fun.
Yeah. But
gonna take a walk. I'd rather him just talk about just completely nonsensical things than try to govern from there.
Well, and, you know, another thing that I did a little, like, back of the napkin or whatever you call it math on this.
Look out.
Is that a thing? Back,
sure.
Is that back
of the envelope math?
Yeah, back.
That's the one.
Back of the. I always screw these.
The
every time
means
I'm on,
you were drunk when you did it.
Yeah, every time I'm on here, I screw up some kind of common saying.
We
like,
should make a little sidebar somewhere online. We should do a little list of your
yeah,
like, special.
Don't let
phrases.
The horse fart in the barn. Or whatever. I don't know. You know.
Like it's kind of like a Ross Perot thing. Like.
Yeah.
What was like just because you put a cat in the oven doesn't make it a biscuit? Like you're going there. That's where you're headed.
Nice.
Anyway,
nice.
You're back of the bar room.
Back of the whatever. Back of my hand. Math. But no, I was okay. So because they talked a week or so ago about the use of Twitter and how that's going to continue, and they're going to continue to make policy announcements this way. And the Sean Spicer, the press guy for Trump, said it's because he can talk directly to 45 million Americans, and that's a real power, and he should use that. And I said, okay, but there's a problem with that, because first of all, the 45 million, if you add up his Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, it doesn't equal 45 million. It's lower than that. I mean, it's still high. It's probably 30, 35, something like that. But it, I don't know where the 45 million came from in the first place. Second, the population of the United States is 320 million. So you're starting out communicating, if you assume that 45 million is correct, you're communicating with about 15% of the country.
Right.
Tops. Second or third or whatever I'm on, roughly 80% of Twitter's users. Yeah. See, there I go again. I can't even list things right. Three, subset A. I'm sure everybody's following along.
Roman numeral 50.
You may want to take notes anytime I talk, just to keep things straight.
We had a continuity out there.
But this was, and I didn't realize this was this high, but almost 80% of Twitter's users are not in the United States.
Right.
Because Twitter is obviously a global operation.
Company.
I did not realize that it was that skewed, but that's huge. Okay, so 80% of the, however, I think he has 18 million or something like that on Twitter alone, so roughly 80% of those aren't here. And I don't know about your Twitter following, but I would bet that easily two-thirds of my Twitter following are either bots, inactive accounts.
Or brands.
Yeah. Or
companies. I follow a lot of news organizations and things like that.
Right. Dairy Queen follows me, I'm proud to say.
Nice. Whataburger follows me.
Do they? Oh, nice.
That was like a life win right there.
Yeah, seriously. That's a good... I offered to be a brand ambassador for them the other day, and they responded. But
did they respond with like a dipped ice cream cone?
No, unfortunately. There was no swag. But anyway, the point is, and then again, also on top of all of that, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, there's overlap. I mean, there, you know, people that
quite
follow.
A bit.
Right. So it's not 45 million is a ridiculous number, is what I'm saying.
Right.
There are
you
not
don't get to, like, if I follow you on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, you don't get to count me three times.
Right. Exactly. I would guess, and again, you know, just more or less pulling this out of my ass, but you could pretty much say 10 million people, maybe, are the ones that he's actually sort of communicating with, and we don't even know how many of those are necessarily active or engaged on a daily basis. So that's crap to say that he's using Twitter to communicate with the American people. What he's doing is he's throwing stuff out on Twitter. He's not giving the media any chance to ask questions or to, you know, sort through what it is he's saying or even check the veracity of it right away. The media then reports on what he's saying because he's the president-elect of the United States. You have to, I mean, people are like, well, you should stop reporting on
I know, I keep saying that. Stop making all of his tweets breaking news. I'm like, that's all we got.
Yeah, that's what we've
got.
That's all we got. And how do you not do it? I mean, he's the damn president of the United States. It's our job to be able to, so everybody's trying to make sense of this. Bottom line is this whole, like, he's thinking outside the box and he's going to communicate via Twitter directly to the American people is bullshit. I mean, that is absolute crap. And he is doing it to get around the media. He's
being
doing
held
that,
accountable.
Right. And that's called propaganda for those of you.
For those of you
that.
Playing at home.
Yeah. So anyway, I went on kind of a Twitter screech about that because it dawned on me all of a sudden. I was like, wait a minute. First off, just the 45 million alone is, like I said, it's like 15% of the country. That in and of it's defeated right there.
Right.
Conceptually. But it's far lower than that.
You and I are on Twitter a lot, but then there's people like, my mom, she has a Twitter account. I think her last tweet was like 2014.
Right.
Like, she's got the account. She, you know, but she's not looking at it every day.
They have things. Actually, I should try this. They have, I mean, there's apps that will sort through your Twitter followers and kind of show you who's active, who's not, that sort of thing. It would be interesting. I don't know if you can run somebody else's account through that. I don't remember how that works exactly. Probably not.
But that would be a fun data experiment.
It would be.
Of the people that follow him, how many are active accounts or at least daily users?
Right.
You know, that would be an interesting. Or verified accounts. A lot of journalists have verified Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see. I mean.
Yeah, there's probably all kinds of ways to sift through it if you can do that. Again, I'm not sure about different websites that'll
sure.
You can put in your username and blah, and spits out a bunch of data, but on the computer,
on them interwebs, yeah,
on the
that would be an interesting data project though to really kind of analyze his the people who follow him.
Yeah, because I think I'm actually thinking about a column along these lines and calling it Trump's Tiny America because that's,
I like that.
That's kind of what it is, and also I know how much he likes the word tiny.
I was going to say, and that's a nice like callback to the tiny hands thing.
Yes. He's a big fan.
Bigly.
So, yeah, Bigly. Right.
I like that. That's a good one. I don't think I see much from him on face. I mean, I was looking during the election, but I haven't really been looking since. I haven't seen people sharing Trump stuff or commenting one way or the other. I see a lot of it on Twitter. I see a lot of people retweet his tweets and comment, mostly you. But,
sorry.
And then I've also seen a lot of screen grabs of his tweets that are compared with other lawmakers. Like just the other day, the New Year's Eve message or the Happy New Year message from Obama was compared to the New Year message from Trump because they are vastly different in tone, in respect, in shit stirring.
Yeah, totally. No, it's just he can't do anything without either lifting himself up sort of in a weird kind of way or knocking others down. He just seems completely incapable of just a sincere statement.
I know. He can't not antagonize someone at some point.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And I think it'll be interesting next week when Obama speaks.
I know.
Here he's giving this sort of farewell address thing. And I just think and I know you can't really do it, but if you could sort of take ideology or policy aside, I wish people who have disliked a lot of what he has done would at least, especially comparatively speaking right now between who we're dealing with, could stand back and say, you know what, he's a decent guy and he's a eloquent person and he has, I don't see where he has, I mean, look, every president says some regrettable things. He's said some regrettable things. You know, he's said, and things that have come back to haunt him in different ways. The you can keep your doctor thing with Obamacare was a huge, hugely stupid. I'm doing it now. Stupid thing to say. And that came back to haunt him. There's been other things. So I'm not saying he's perfect by any stretch, but I am saying that I feel like he and just the whole kind of first family, they've been very decent.
Very scandal-free.
Incredibly scandal-free, especially when you consider that all they wanted to do was bring him down. Mm-hmm. That's all they've ever wanted to do. And scandal-wise, it's been like nothing. And so, you know, I think that when you look at presidents, even when you disagree with them, I mean, you look at George Bush, and obviously a lot to not like, especially if you're on my side of the fence. But, I didn't think he was the smartest guy or the most eloquent guy. But I never looked at him as a bad person. You know what I mean? I never thought, like, wow, he's just such a jerk or, you know, anything like that. I mean, and I thought he did do some things well, especially towards the end. And he did a lot of work with AIDS and Africa. And there were a lot of good things that happened there. And even in 9/11, you know, I thought his sort of the way he handled that, the way he talked about not freaking out about everyone who's a Muslim. And, you know, like he tried to really do some things that I thought were really positive. So now you kind of juxtapose Obama and you juxtapose some of our past presidents and the kind of dignity that even, again, if you want to talk about George W. Bush and not being that swift, maybe, but still, you know, the dignity that
what
some
of these
what
was the word everyone always said around that time? Strategery? Wasn't that the word?
Yeah.
To make fun of him? Because he messed up. Strategery or something?
Strategery, like right. Yeah, saying. Yeah. He did. But, I mean, you know, there was still kind of at least a dignity about the office. Even, you know, so even if
dignity about the office, that's the key phrase.
Yeah.
Because that's not what we're seeing.
Right. We're not seeing it at all. And I think that's a real, it's a shame. Because I didn't know when he won, obviously, I was like, ooh, and I threw up for a few days. But then I figured, okay, maybe he will embrace what's happened.
He'll
here.
Step up and
right,
have dignity of the office.
Step up is the perfect word. That hasn't happened. No. And I think that's legitimately disappointing. Everybody will say, well, you hate him anyway. Who cares? I'm like, well, you know what?
I care.
Yeah.
Leader of my country.
Right. And I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, I mean, he's not going to do policies that I particularly like. He's not going to put Supreme Court justices in that I'm going to particularly like. But he could.
But at least act like you give a shit.
Right. He could play the part.
Yeah. At least act like you give a shit. And I'm down with innovation and I'm cool with him being on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm just not cool with that being his primary communication tool.
Right.
If he's got a big ass announcement, I need to see it. I need to be, you know, like we need to be looking at that.
And
we have the same right to see it as my grandparents who do not do Twitter. You know what I mean? Like everyone has the right to see that and access it. And it's fine with him being, I'm fine with him being on Twitter. I think that's fine. And I think presidents should evolve with technology, but like not as a primary tool and not acting like a tool, you know, I almost said slack ass, but he's not being a slacker. He's being so smarmy about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I wonder like what is the first State of the Union going to be like? Because that's so formal. You know, that's a big thing, like announcing the President of the United States. Everybody's standing up, and then you walk in. I mean, there's some – and I'm all for, like, bucking tradition where it makes sense. But there are some things that just go with the office that you need. I mean, even if he wasn't the leader of the country, imagine just being the CEO of your company.
Yeah. Sure.
Even that, you'd be like, man, what a schmuck, this guy running my company.
Yeah, well, we had that when what's-his-face was in charge of the Tribune, Sam Zell.
Sure.
You know, he was in – I mean, you know, he had a meeting, I think it was at the Orlando Sentinel or something like that, where he, you know, a woman asked something that he didn't like, and off, you know, he kind of backed off from the mic and was like, fuck you. You know, and I was appalled. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Fuck appalled. You. I was like, you're the
fuck me.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so, yeah, that matters. Those things
matter.
And you don't, like you said, I think that's a perfect way to put it, is innovate, do different things.
Sure.
But you can't do it at the, so he's tweeting and then not allowing the media to actually ask him questions.
Right. Innovate by adding to, but correct, not subtracting.
Right.
And yeah. I mean, the thing that is valuable about a leader in a corporate setting, in any setting, is a sense of level-headedness. You know, you mm-hmm. don't want, like, if your boss is a raging hothead, you're probably going to be unhappy at work because you're like, this is someone who I know I can't count on
right.
when the shit hits the fan. Mm-hmm. And we have already seen, like, he can't even stand still on a fucking stage if he has to share it with a woman.
Right.
Like, this is not a level-headed person.
Yeah.
As for the Obamas, I think, I don't care what anyone says. I really don't care. There are so many people that, even if you do not agree with his policies, even if you don't want to hold him to just, you know, hey, everybody's human and everyone said some dumb shit. And if you're in the spotlight 24/7, mm-hmm. you're going to say some dumb shit. Any of us would. There is just so much fucking racism attached to that.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I don't, and so many people are like, it's not about that. I wouldn't have voted for him if he was white. Bullshit. Bullshit. You would not even be holding him to the standards to which he has been. It's the same thing we talked about ad nauseum when we were talking about Hillary. Like, she just was held to this higher standard than men were. Clearly. Clearly, right? Because this is where we've landed.
Yeah.
The Obamas have been subject to so much bullshit. Sometimes, like, if I'm ever just, like, in my dreamland, one day I'm just going to cross paths with all four of them mm-hmm. and be like, I apologize for all the silly shit that people just, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. I love you guys. I miss you already. That's what I'm going to do.
Can we take a selfie?
Can we take a selfie? I love you. Can you hold me for a minute?
I mean, Trump can't endure a single
anything.
Insult from anybody moderately high profile. If Paul Ryan was to stand up today and say what Trump just did was ridiculous, there would be a tweet out in 3.5 seconds calling Paul Ryan a schmuck or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. Whereas, you know, Obama,
some people can't handle it. Sad.
Yeah. Obama has endured
endless, so much bullshit.
And not just from, like, I mean, Trump gets crap from idiots like me and everybody, you know, all kinds of people on Twitter. That's going to happen to any president. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, insults from legitimate, like, high profile people.
Yeah.
And Obama's taken an endless onslaught of that and done it by and large with great class and basically just ignoring it.
Here's a great recent example of his character, I believe. And again, I don't give a shit if you are into his policies and the work that he's done or not. And frankly, right now, it doesn't matter. You don't need to be. He's on his way out. So whatever. But when he was at an event and a Trump supporter showed up and everybody started booing the guy, he was like, stop.
Yeah.
First of all, it looks like this guy, he's wearing a military uniform, looks like he served his country. So, sir, I'd like to thank you for your service. And he's got the right to be here and share his opinion and hold his sign and do his thing. Like, we saw, in fact, the exact opposite at Trump events.
Yeah, exactly.
Where people were escorted out and shit on and all kind of nonsense happened to them just because they weren't white guys.
Yeah.
Like, we saw lots of bullshit like that.
Right.
We're not talking about the same sort of grace of character. And therefore, certainly, it is not going to be a matter of bringing the same kind of grace to the office.
Yeah, nobody can even stand up and commend him on that. You know,
no.
Like nobody on the right. I mean,
you know,
so
no.
That was I thought that was a tremendously impactful moment and said a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
And do they? No, they don't say anything. I mean, but if that was there, if Mitt Romney did that, for example, if you know Mitt Romney had become president, then they would. Oh my! Now that's dignity.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, whatever.
Look at that good white man.
Right.
Being
right.
So dignified. That's what it's about.
Right. And the other this just before again right before we started up here. Mitch McConnell said that the American people simply will not tolerate Democrats blocking Trump's SCOTUS nominee, Supreme Court nominee. So were supposed to tolerate the GOP blocking
right.
Obama's. And again, this is where you get it. They just won't. They never would cooperate with him. They would never treat
never.
Him as a legitimate president. And that is just that's like insane levels of hypocrisy right there. Personally, I don't think I'm not for blocking Trump's SCOTUS nominees. Simply because he's Trump, you know. I mean, I disagree with that. I don't think Democrats should do that either. Just as I didn't think.
But
the
like,
Republicans
hold up.
But,
let me get like seven IUDs first, and
right.
then
well, yeah,
then
yeah.
let the new
yeah.
SCOTUS come in.
Absolutely. Or, yeah, we'll let you get your stockpile.
Sure. At least seven of them.
but that's it. I mean, that has never happened. Nobody's ever done that to a president before.
No.
And then turned around and immediately said, "Well, to do that would be horrible. The American people wouldn't tolerate it." Well, it's like, come on, I know
come
what
on,
you're,
dude.
I know what's driving this. You won't admit it, but I, you know, same with Obama. I mean, you know, Obamacare. Obamacare could have worked immensely better than it did if people had cooperated.
If there was bipartisan
cooperation, right, yeah. and tried to find a way to make it work. They didn't. They dug their feet in, and they've done everything they can. Now they're going to repeal it. Still don't have something to replace it with, despite 8 years of griping about it. And so you say it again. Okay, what is the difference here? What this level of intransigence, what is motivating this? And it, you know what it is? They don't like this guy, and they don't want the first black president to have these tremendous accomplishments that he
right.
will be looked back on.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sorry. I mean, and it's not true for everyone. No, it's not what motivates everyone, not by a long shot. But
it's
there
not,
are absolutely
but there
people.
There are absolutely people that will never fucking admit it. But like just the way like you can just the way we tell our deep truths in the way we talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, let's just put all the jokes aside that were about primates and all that bullshit. Like, let's just take all that because that's pretty overt to me.
Yeah, sure.
Even when it's couched. Oh, I was just joking. Mm-mm, that's racist. You are a racist if you have done that. Period.
Yeah.
Full stop. It's death by a thousand cuts. It's the same thing with like, I talk about this a lot. I'm like just being female in a corporate setting sometimes. It's like, it's not the one big, it's the tiny, tiny little things that just chip away and undermine and undermine and undermine. Frankly, however the man kept it together this long without fucking punching somebody in the face is a mystery to me.
did you see the Onion had a great, this may have been old. I just happened to see it today on Twitter, but it said like White House staff, like running out of spackle to patch walls. Obama has punched holes to patch holes. Obama has punched in the walls or something.
I love
like
it.
That.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you kind of imagine that there must be, you know, some way he has vented that anger.
Gotta be. That's why, like, when he was a smoker, I didn't give him that much shit because I'm like,
I get it.
I get it, bro. I get it, man. Do your thing. Whatever. Have a little bourbon too. Whatever you need to do. I don't care. Whatever you need to do, get through the day.
He's got to be so jacked to get out of there. I mean, I think he's devastated because he knows everything he's done is about to get unraveled.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also got to be part of him that is just like, oh my God, get me out.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Yeah. You're cool, fuck you, I'm out.
Like, I'm moving to Canada, man.
Yeah.
Screw right. you guys.
I'm going to be Trudeau's neighbor. What's up, eh?
I go somewhere where people are nicer.
Are nicer. Oh, well, it'll be interesting. So what are your predictions for inauguration weekend?
Well, Jackie Ivanko obviously is going to be huge.
Sure.
her
sales will skyrocket yet again.
I think it will be... my guess is that it will be more typical than we might expect. I think, you know, for some reason, I feel like it's probably going to go off like most normal inaugurations would go off. I don't know exactly how.
You know what I'm a little bit excited about?
What's that?
The, because on inauguration, you know, at the ball, you got to go in and you got to have a dance and you got, I bet you he can't dance worth a shit.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about that.
I'm real excited about that first dance.
And who does he dance with?
Also.
Dun, dun, dun.
Clearly the daughter. Clearly.
Yeah, you just hear nothing from Melania. Like, I mean, I haven't heard
anything. She's busy sobbing, I'm sure. She's been locked. She's locked herself in the her giant walk-in closet or whatever. She's like, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah,
I hate this.
Yeah, really. I know. Oh, my God. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, that is, you're right. That'll be interesting. I don't see him. There's a lot of things. Like, I've never seen him laugh. I couldn't imagine him dancing.
He doesn't. Oh, I've never. He doesn't laugh.
No, he's never laughed. Oh, yeah. No, people have written stuff about that, too.
Oh, I haven't noticed
like,
that.
Like,
no,
psychologists,
I haven't seen
you know, from that sort of. It's odd. It's very odd. But I've barely seen him smile. Only a couple times.
Only in a smug kind of way.
Yeah, but I've never seen him laugh. And he doesn't own any pets. And that strikes some people. Like, he's one of, mm-hmm. I think I read that he's going to be one of the first presidents to not have
some
any
kind of pet.
Pet or want to get a pet. Or, you know what I mean? Like that. I guess he doesn't like animals. And that sort of troubles me in some ways. But that's another
story.
See,
I'm not down with that.
Yeah. But
when I was in high school, like, I wasn't allowed to go on any date until the date came and met the family dog. And that was like my parents' rule, like, the dog doesn't like. Mm.
Yeah, they know. Dogs are smart.
Right. And yeah. But luckily, like, even the boyfriend that I had with, like, green spiky hair was very charming to the dogs.
Well, that's good.
And so my parents like, you got no argument. The dogs love him. Bye. We'll be out. Be out before curfew.
Who's a good dog?
Be back before curfew.
All you had to do was, like, rub a little meat on the boyfriend.
Right, like, here's a strip of bacon. Yeah, just be cool.
Nice end around.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I think, the ball thing is really, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, because there's no way that guy dances.
It'd be funny if he got out there and just danced like a maniac, like was really good.
That scene in Swingers, yeah. And suddenly super cut a rug. Where'd you learn how to do that?
You're like, whoa, holy cow. Maybe I don't hate you as much as I thought.
There's no way that guy's a dancer.
Yeah, probably not. But the thing that I really hope, honestly, is that it just goes smoothly. I hope people aren't just, I don't think people should go and be disruptive.
No.
I mean,
the potential for that is high.
It's high, and I do worry about that because it's counterproductive. Save your energy for the things that matter. Save your energy for the Women's March the next day, even. I mean, I think that's a good expression. I think disrupting the inauguration is a very bad and very counterproductive thing to do. I think you'd save your energy for the things that matter that are coming up, and... I hope people chill a little on that.
And not just save your energy, which is a thing that should happen, but also stay above reproach.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give any side any ammunition to say, to point out the foibles of another. Just be great and throw a countermarch and do the things and bombard lawmakers when a bad call is about to be made and just stay above reproach. Like, I mean, I thought the soy bomb guy that jumped on the stage with Dylan that one time at the Grammys was super funny, but, like, less of that.
Right.
Not so much. Let's not disrupt. Like, do your thing. Carry on. We'll be over here organizing, doing all this, building, and stopping bad decisions.
His ardent supporters hate people on the left and think that they honestly are out to ruin the country. I mean, that's really what they believe. And anything...
Although I would say the same applies, the vice versa.
No. Although I don't think I don't think as many people on the left actually view people on the right as somehow being un-American. I think there's a lot of disagreement, and they think a lot of the policies are bad. I don't think that they actually view them as much. Some do, yes, but I don't think they view them as much as being, like, almost the enemy. Whereas I think people on the right actually... view a lot of people on the left as being like, you know, like, you're my enemy.
Yeah,
which I think
fair
is,
point. Which is, you've been addressed as.
Yeah, which I'm always like, what? I mean, it's so weird. I can't get to that. But anyway, I think you just don't, it was like even during the campaign, I said, don't stop protesting. Stop blocking. Don't do that. You're just feeding this narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to stop that. You're right. You put it beautifully. Be above reproach. That's the absolute best way to move forward.
That's what needs to happen. And, I mean, I think that weekend there's a potential for a lot going awry because there's the Women's March the following day after the inauguration. But then there's also sister marches in cities around the country. And, you know, that's anytime there's a large group of people assembled and they feel strongly enough to assemble and it's fueled by passion and emotion and might. I don't care who you are. There's this potential for things going wrong.
Yep.
It's just what happens when you put human beings in a crowd. So I don't, you know, I don't want to hear about it later. Like, gosh, this could have been a beautiful thing where all of these women and allies were all together standing up for something. And then this happened, right?
Yeah.
And then someone beat up a person or killed somebody or, you know, whatever. I don't want to hear about people getting arrested. I don't want to hear about people getting killed or hurt. I don't want to hear about anything. I don't want to hear about disruption or vigilanteism. I just want to hear about a peaceful right to assemble. That's all I want to hear about.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want your goal is to make a difference somehow. That's what you want the headlines to be, too, is that
right.
What you said, what your message was, that you said it respectfully and you got out. And
yeah, breaking. It was fucking awesome.
Because otherwise,
boom.
You know.
That's all you want.
I mean, it's just going to take one minor thing. And
yeah.
Fox News' coverage, for example, is all like, women's march, crazy women.
Right.
Radical females run wild through nation's capital.
The streets
capital.
Ran with menstrual blood.
Exactly. There was blood coming out of their whatever.
Their whatevers. Speaking of, there is an artist. I will have her name by the next podcast. There's an artist who has been making Trump watercolors with menstrual blood.
No, boy.
And here's where I'm at. Here's my mental state right now. I was like, huh. At no point was I like, ew. I was right away like, that's kind of a pretty color. Like right away I was like, I mean, if you could get the logistics pinned down, that's not a terrible. I mean, I sat in my living room and actually thought through, like, with a diva cut. Okay, all right. Like, I sat down and figured that out for a minute. Like, at no point was I like, Amy Guth, do not watercolor with your menstrual blood. Don't do that. At no point was I even thinking that would be a bad idea. I was like, oh, I watercolor. Neat. Like, right away, I went to that. But let us quickly discuss Megyn Kelly's announcement.
Speaking of
blood coming out of someone's wherever, as he said. Did he say wherever or whatever?
Whatever.
I think he said you're whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, she is leaving Fox, she has announced, and she's moving to NBC. And again, I would like to point out it's a little bit of hypocrisy in that, I mean, there's a lot of nuanced conversation going on about that move right now. Some people are like, oh, feminist icon. She's sticking it to the man going over here. I don't think she's doing that. I think she's just changing jobs. But I think it's very interesting how people that I know that are quick to were quick anyway to like, hey, don't you troll Hillary. Don't do that. Immediately started to troll Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. Like, straight up, the first comment, I shared that story on Facebook, the first comment said, she sucks.
Yeah, she doesn't suck.
She doesn't suck.
Yeah, I totally just, yeah, I mean, I developed a far greater respect for her as a journalist over the past year or so. Prior to that, I honestly didn't pay an enormous amount of attention to her show anyway.
No kidding, yeah.
And I knew her mainly for her War on Christmas crap, which
right.
was crap. But,
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I think it's absurd to say that she's not that she sucks. I mean, she did a better job than I would say most people during the campaign in terms of holding people's feet to the fire.
And so. in her shoes.
Yeah.
As much as she was quickly put into the spotlight of it. I'm not defending the woman because she can defend herself.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I don't think it's fair to be shitty to her right now.
Mm-mm, no. And that surprises me actually because I thought that she kind of became a
sympathetic
yeah,
sort of
right.
character
yeah.
yeah on the left.
So I'm surprised to hear people kind of reverting back to
I know
the sort of snottiness and stuff. I yeah, I don't like that.
Like an unbelievable amount of trolling. And I was like, leave the fucking woman alone.
Yeah.
I think she's had enough shit this year. Like, let's let it be.
Yeah, exactly.
And also there was so much like preemptive I'm never watching NBC again or let her see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's silly. And honestly, that's one of the problems I think is that we've especially for broadcast journalists at that level, is that they really are celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, I mean, they lose, I guess they're still journalists technically. I mean,
sure.
But there is, we attach this celebrity to them that wouldn't be attached to any other journalist. And so it becomes very hard to, in any way, objectively
right.
evaluate them.
Do your thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, I don't like her hair. Or, you know, I don't like it.
Well,
or it just becomes
something
dippy, you know, and like that. Or just, you know, they view her, well, she was part of Fox News, ergo, I don't like her. So whatever. But
right.
I mean, there are reasons. Again, I think she did was remarkable, I thought, during the election. And then prior to that, like I said, all the war on Christmas crap she did, I thought was just garbage. But
complete nonsense.
You know, yeah, but that's.
But when like called to the mat for the election, I thought she did fine.
Yeah, totally.
So
and also handled her. Talk about like the Obamas handling themselves well. She handled herself beautifully.
No
during
shit.
That. I mean, it was a model of just absolute like grace and like
totally.
Professionalism. I thought. I mean, nobody could have handled that better. Than she did.
Like,
so.
I like to think that I can keep my cool when faced with complete dipshittery.
Yeah.
But if that motherfucker would have said that comment to my face, I would have been like...
You would have been over the table.
I would have flipped that table. I just would have found a table, moved it over there just so I could flip it.
Goose train coming.
Goose smash! Like, I would have totally hulked out. My what? I would have gone
oh, no.
nuts. And I kind of... Like, I do, you know, I think it would be interesting to participate in impactful ways like that, in a very visible way in election coverage. But holy shit, I would have blown up a car, my own even, just out of rage. Of
oh,
like,
yeah.
Come well, on.
And then also...
Because it became so personal.
Yeah, and then the response, too. Oh, God. I mean, just anybody getting that kind of troll army sicked on them like that and stuff, forget about it.
That's well, it is the new era.
It is, for better or for worse. I wish her well. I think, I would not be in any way, shape, or form surprised if she doesn't do great stuff. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I mean, her career trajectory is interesting. She's been very, like, self-possessed and very ambitious about her career in the way that she's gone from, you know, lawyer to legal blogger and analyst to, you know, like, she's really done a good job of seizing opportunities, and there ain't nothing wrong with that
at all. And she's extremely bright. I mean, she's a very smart person, which, again, gives me every reason to think she'll
be fine.
Yeah.
I'm worried about her.
Yeah. I can disagree with her on things, but I'm certainly not going to question her her chops. I mean, she's really...
No.
I mean, she's excellent at grilling. I mean, and not just Trump and during the debates or whatever, but, I mean, she's good. She's a good interviewer. You know, she really is.
For sure. So...
Go get them, Megan.
Right. We'll see what happens at NBC and where she lands and how all of it goes. Good times.
Yeah.
Well, so let's see. It is the 4th. We are 16 days away.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. We need a little sound effect for that, I feel like.
I'd like to get some little buttons I can push to make weird noises. That would be...
Very morning zoo.
Yeah, they go, wee.
Like in it, but for certain words, anytime, like, that's the phrase that pays.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, it's the prize siren going off here at the Goof and Hupke on Politics.
Anytime you say...
You win a free menstrual blood print from...
Oh, man, we have clearly been, there are fumes in here or something. Good times. Well, yeah, so we'll work on that for the things that, I don't know, the menstrual blood painting prize closet. We'll work on that, stocking that for
caller.
Next time. Oh, jeebus. All right, then. Well, this has been Guth and Hupke on Politics. We shall see you next time.